Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the National MS Society's Jobs with Flexibility conference call. Your host for today is Barbara McKeon. Ms. McKeon, you may now begin.
Thanks, Jenny. Good evening, everyone. As Jenny said, I'm Barbara McKeon. I'm the Director of Employment Programs and Services at the New York City Southern New York Chapter. Now, I want to welcome everyone to the fourth call in our 2011 Employment Teleconference Series. Tonight's call, Part-Time Jobs with Flexibility. We would like to thank EMD Serono for their sponsorship of this program, and the New York City Southern New York Chapter would also like to thank the Manhattan Society for their sponsorship as well. Joining me tonight as your host on the call this evening is Steve Nissen, Senior Director of Employment and Community Programs with the National Capital Chapter in Washington, D.C. Please know that this evening's call will be recorded and available to you at the end of the series if you would like. Last week's call, we talked about Social Security and return to work. We scheduled this call to follow because we know that oftentimes people with MS who are receiving Social Security disability would like to work when they can, but the intermittent nature of this condition can interfere with one's ability to sustain a high level of work every day, all day. Tonight's call is going to focus on jobs that can be done part-time, many of which are short-term and can be done when you're feeling well enough. We have three speakers tonight. So after all of our speakers have completed their presentations, there will be time for your questions. We have extended tonight's call until 8:15 and hope that you can all remain on the line that long in order to give more time for questions. If you have questions, jot them down during the call so you're prepared to ask them during our Q&A period. Be sure to ask your question completely as we'll be muting your line after your question is asked to allow us to get to as many questions as possible. We'll do our best to get to all the questions, but if time runs out, Steve and I will give you our contact information so you can follow up with us, and we'll do our best to get you the answer. At the conclusion of tonight's call, we will be polling the audience in an effort to evaluate this program. This is a short survey of only six questions, so if possible, please stay on the line until the conclusion of the program and answer the questions, as we're really interested in your feedback. Our first speaker, Annette Dutour, has worked for over 10 years as a part-time product demonstration and retail merchandising professional. In addition, Annette has worked many years full-time in wholesale retail customer service and sales. She is joining us tonight to talk about part-time jobs in merchandising and demonstration. Annette?
Yes. Hi. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to first speak about merchandising. What is merchandising? Merchandising is the type of work where an employee goes into a retail location such as a Walmart, Kmart, JCPenney, or Macy's as a part-time person and does a store reset. Now, what store reset, what that entails is possibly taking greeting cards and rearranging the greeting cards and setting them up as a display. Or it could be ladies' lingerie. It could be CDs. So that's why it's available in any type of retailer. That's what Walmart, Kmart, JCPenney, Macy's, all these different kinds of retailers have merchandising work. Now, how do one go about becoming a merchandiser? Where you can find these types of jobs, primarily there are specific websites. There are a lot of different companies that provide these kinds of work. One of the job sites that has merchandising jobs is called NARMS, N-A-R-M-S, and Barbara, you're going to be putting the availability for people?
I actually sent, they should have gotten the material.
Okay. NARMS is one of the biggest sites available to search for this kind of work. And what you do is you put a profile in, and then you, they will send you, email you jobs that are in, coordinate with the profile that you've put into the system. It's very flexible in that it can be done any day of the week except for the weekends. So it is a week during business Monday through Friday. Any time that the retailer is open, Monday through Friday, you can go in and do the merchandising. Typically, it might involve some lifting or stooping or possibly even climbing a ladder, depending upon the product that you're going to be merchandising. And sometimes it is, as far as the work itself, you are meeting with a manager, and you'll be in the same store. Other times, you'll be going to different stores. It typically takes about an hour. Some merchandising is a little longer if you're doing a brand new reset or a brand new planogram for a store. So, in other words, if Tommy Hilfiger in Macy's is going to put out a new line of lingerie, then that may take four hours. So that's something to keep in mind, but typically it's an hour because if it's a weekly job that you're going into the same store, then it's pretty much it's just a matter of cleaning it up and making everything neat. So that's about an hour. So basically, as I said, you go. NARMS is the website that has all the different companies that they work with. There are individual companies that you can go to their site directly and find jobs as well. As far as the pay scale and the hours of the type of employment that it is, it can be by contract employment, which means you'll get a 1099 at the end of the year, or it can be an hourly part-time job that you actually work for the company. So it depends on the company. Each of them is different. The typical pay scale is anywhere from $10 to $16 an hour. And so if you have – some are paid weekly. Sometimes it's biweekly. They also – there are some companies like Advantage Sales and Marketing that do pay part-time people. If you're 20 hours or more, they do pay benefits. So that's always good to know. The next thing discussed is product demonstration work. And I think everyone who ever shopped in any kind of grocery store or any kind of food market have seen a product demonstrator. They're the people who give out your free samples. They're the ones who feed you when you go into the stores. They're also the ones who will hand you a sample. It might be toothpaste. It might be Tic Tacs. It could be anything that the store is looking to promote that week. With this type of work, it typically is a 4 to 6 hour on your feet. So that's something to consider. So that's definitely, you know, you have to make sure if you can stand for 4 to 6 hours. You're not standing the entire time, but you have to be able to have that flexibility. Again, you can pick and choose the types of work that you want, and you can decide that you don't want to go to a specific store, you don't want to do a specific project. You can take on whatever projects you want at any of these companies. What you do need is some customer service experience, preferably some sales or retail background. For both the product demo and the merchandising, a little bit more with the product demonstration work, you need some sales experience, but it's not mandatory. For both, you do need to have a computer or have access to a computer, because most of the companies that you would be working for, at the end of your shift, you would have to come back home and enter your tally for that day's work into your computer. So you do have to have that, because all the paperwork is done. You're logging your time, et cetera, and that's how you get paid. Again, for product demonstration work, it's $10 to $16 an hour average. Again, it can be either contract or payroll. So basically the same companies that offer merchandising work offer product demonstration work. So it's Acosta, Advantage Sales and Marketing, all the different companies that I myself have worked for, they offer both merchandising and product demonstration work. Again, to get started, it's the same website. NARMS is the best one out there. They work with different manufacturers as well as different retailers. So I've worked myself for Home Depot. I've worked for Kmart. I've worked for Mrs. Greens, which is an upscale natural market. So there's a lot of different types of retailers and a lot of different types of jobs that are available for both merchandising and product demonstrations. And basically, enough said about that. That's pretty much across the board. Again, like I said, with the merchandising, you may have to lift or stand or climb a ladder possibly, but it depends on the product itself. It's definitely something they'll let you know when you are filling out the application, and that's something just to keep in mind. And that's basically it.
Okay. Thanks so much, Annette. We're going to hold questions for Annette in a bit. So if you had any questions for her about merchandising or demo work, hang on to them. We'll be getting to that in a few. But I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Evelyn Arnett. Evelyn is president and CEO of A Customer's Point of View, Inc. It's an award-winning firm specializing in service problems. Evelyn draws on over 20 years' experience in consulting, sales, and customer service, including retail sales and management. She's instructed and developed training sessions on mystery shopping, customer service, and sales, and has provided consulting services to existing mystery shopping companies. And she's here tonight to take the mystery out of mystery shopping. Evelyn.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. First, I wanted to, I guess, a miniature disclosure. I have a rheumatoid condition called polymyositis. It's an autoimmune condition similar to MS that attacks my muscles. So I kind of understand the MS condition, even though mine is a little different. I've been in a wheelchair for several months. I go back and forth with my cane and my walker. So just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from. I did start the business prior to the condition, so I didn't get into the business because of. But mystery shopping basically involves similar to, it could be a retailer. I've done retail, fast food. I've done transit systems. People go in and evaluate the service and provide a report that we provide to the client. So that's basically what, and that's what the mystery shopper does, go in and do the work and fill out a report online to us based on how they were treated, how clean the location was, say for fast food, were they wearing gloves, were they wearing caps, how long did it take to serve you, how was the dining room, how clean was the restroom. Those are the types of things that the mystery shopper is evaluating. The requirements to become a mystery shopper, you have to be keen on detail, remember what you saw, able to write it and describe it well, so that the client can figure out what needs to be done to improve his business. That's what it's all about. The client wants to know what's going on in his business. What do I need to improve it? So well-written, reliable, have the report in on time, do the assignment on time, and also computer. Just about all the mystery shopping companies require that you input the reports online, as well as pick your assignments online. So a computer with internet access would also be a requirement. How much would you get paid? It varies depending on the assignment. Some of my reports say like a fast food would pay $7, but there's a reimbursement for food up to $5. And it's one is a chicken place and one is a donut place. So about a total of $12 total would get cover you for the report plus food. I have some transit shops that pay $15, including the fare. So depending on the type of assignment, what's required for the mystery shopper to do depends on the payment. Now, I know a lot of you heard about freebies. And the freebies involve, I guess I call freebies in quote, which is what I consider the reimbursement, say, for the food. If you're evaluating a fast food restaurant, You have to purchase the food in order to evaluate. The same thing with fine dining. You would have to sit down and dine in order to evaluate, and we would reimburse you for that meal. Sometimes they'll reimburse up for two people, depending on the company and depending on the requirement for the client, so check that as well. How do you get the assignments? First, you have to be, each individual mystery shopping company has their own website where you can usually log in, view the assignments, and self-assign them. They'll tell you what's required of you to do, who the client is, how much they're going to pay, and if there's a reimbursement, how much that is. In order to find these assignments, I believe Barbara gave you some websites to look at, mysteryshop.org, Volition, and a couple of others.
Yes, I did.
There are some companies out there that you get email from saying, send us $25, $30 for a list, and we'll give you a list of all the mystery shopping companies. Waste of money. You can find them free through those websites. Now, you have to apply to each individual company on their website, but there are companies websites that list all the companies. Click on each link and register with each company. Why register with each company? Because, say, I'm in Georgia, but that doesn't necessarily mean I have assignments in Georgia because I may have clients up in New York, and vice versa. Someone in New York may have assignments in Georgia. So don't look at where the company's located. Apply anyway because it depends on where their clients' locations are. Can you do mystery shopping full-time? A few have tried. In this economy, I would say no. It's a nice, good part-time or occasional job. Those who do it full-time do it for several different companies, and they do the merchandising on top of it as well. So, you know, look at your schedule. But, you know, as y'all know and I know, some days you're up, some days you're down. So this is, I consider, perfect work for, you know, when you're having those moments you can do, and then those moments when you don't want to do, you just don't go in and select any assignments. Payment is usually 45 to 60 days out with mystery shopping companies. For the most part on all of them is 45. There's some that go past the 60, some that are less than 45, but the majority are between 45 and 60. They usually pay through either PayPal, check, or direct deposit. So those are some of the options, and depending on the company, how you get paid. Some companies, there is a shopper certification process through the Mystery Shopper Providers Association, which is what we call our trade association. I believe it's $75, but Barbara has that information. She passed along to you. Some companies require it. Those are very few and far between. The majority do not require certification. Some, however, do give preference to those shoppers that are certified. I have looked at it both ways. I haven't gotten anything particular or anything additional from the certified shopper than the non-certified, except that the certified knows more what they're getting into and what's expected of them than the non-certified. Also, there's a couple of scams out there I wanted to make you aware of. Some of companies, you may get emails asking for a fee to become a mystery shopper. Those are not true mystery shopping companies. Just like when you apply for a job, you do not pay a fee. Just about all mystery shopping companies, legitimate ones, do not charge a fee. You just put in an application on their website, and if they approve you to be a shopper with them, you're pretty much good to go. You do not, if you're paying someone a fee, it's a company that's not a mystery shopping company that's basically going to help you find mystery shopping companies to apply to. But I just explained how you get around to all that. Another scam I wanted to make you aware of real quick are checks going out, usually for $4,000, telling you you have a mystery shopping assignment, and it involves you cashing your check, sending some of it to them, and, you know, of course, the check 6 weeks later bounce, and the bank's after you. Those are frauds. If you did not sign up for an assignment, you don't have an assignment. If you did not sign up with that company, I would check it out first, but do not go cash a check from a company you never heard of from which you never accepted an assignment. Okay, and I just answered, if you want to sign up with as many mystery shopping companies as you can in order to get the work. Because like I said, I may not have something in Idaho and somebody else may. Really don't know what accounts people have. And we do get a lot of emails, hey, I'm in California. Do you have work out here? Can't possibly answer any of those emails. So that's why we tell people just apply. Plus, if I get that account in California, I just go to my database, and if you're already there, then we can approve you, and you'll be good to go. And that's the way most companies work. If they don't have something there currently, if you're in the database, when that comes up and you're already there, then you can be approved to Mystery Shop. And I believe, I was talking fast. I think I covered everything.
Okay. Well, if people have questions, you can hang on to them for Evelyn. And thanks, Evelyn. We really appreciate that. Hang in there, and I'm sure you're going to get some questions later. But let's
okay.
move on to our final speaker, Christine. So, Christine, you have about 20 minutes. Christine Durst is the founder of the virtual assistance industry and is co-founder and CEO of Staffcentrics, a U.S.-based training and development firm that works with corporations, government agencies, and individuals to develop virtual, portable, and home-based career solutions. Christine and her partner co-authored the best-selling career book, The Two-Second Commute, and their most recent book, Work at Home, now is a guide to finding your perfect home-based job, avoiding scams, and making a great living. Together, Chris and her partner founded and run the Rat Race Rebellion website, which I have sent that information to everyone on, where visitors can find free, screened, work-at-home job leads and resources. So Chris is here with us tonight to talk briefly about some specific home-based part-time jobs that might be of interest to our audience. So, Chris, take it away.
Thank you, Barbara, and hello, everyone. I will try to cover as much as I can. Barbara, if you could kindly shut me down when my time is up, I will talk the paint off the walls if you don't do that. So if you tell me when to put the brakes on, that would be great. Annette and Evelyn have done a great job of covering the bases with regards to merchandising and mystery shopping. So those are two areas I won't broach. But there are a lot of other work types of work that you can do from home as well. And I'll touch on many of those just very briefly. I know that Barbara had sent in advance some of the details that I sent along to her. I'll be covering that information as well as some other information as well. And what I will do is if I mention websites tonight that are not on that email, I'll send them along to Barbara so that she can pass along those details in another email if you don't mind, Barbara, because I know for sure I'll be touching on sites this evening that are not in that email.
Absolutely, not a problem.
Okay, terrific. So sort of starting from the top, there are so many different types of jobs that people can do from home now. Even jobs that we never would have anticipated would have been home-based just a few years ago. For example, x-ray radiologists now are working from home, a job that we traditionally would expect somebody to have to go to a hospital or a doctor's office or a lab for. Now those jobs are being done from home because now x-rays are being taken digitally. We're seeing nurses working from home now doing telephonic triage. Teachers are now working from home. And just a few years ago, it was not unusual to hear people say that they were attending college online. But now we're even seeing tutoring happening online for grades 3 through 12. And we're seeing some states even embracing elementary school online for K through 12, right up through high school, where children's entire experience in school is actually online. So an entire education can take place online now. So for those of you who are have been taught to teach. There are some great possibilities out there for you as well. There are great jobs for subject matter experts, writers, bloggers, people who do crafting and handiwork, people who have human resource backgrounds. If you would like to work for nonprofits, there are plenty of nonprofits that are also looking for people to work from home. There are jobs in transcription and technology and just all types of things. So just to give you a sense of what's out there, for example, if you're a subject matter expert, in other words, you have a great deal of experience or knowledge about a particular topic, the New York Times Company actually owns a website called about.com. And for those of you who have spent a good deal of time online, chances are you've ended up at the about site more than once, because when you're searching on any of the major search engines, inevitably you'll end up with some search results that bring you to about.com. Now, about actually uses people or subject matter experts that they refer to as guides. And those guides are tasked with providing as much good information on their particular subject as they can. That means maintaining a page or multiple pages on the about.com site about your topic. About.com is a great company to work for. We know quite a few of their guides. They do a wonderful job of training people. You do not need to be particularly internet or web savvy. You don't need to know how to create a web page, for example. As long as you know a lot about your subject matter, they train you to easily plug the information into the website so that it's in an easy-to-deliver format for the people who are interested in reading your topic. They are. They actually pay quite well. They have an entry level, I believe, of about $625 as a base pay for each month, and then you get paid additional depending on how many people come to visit your particular page, those individuals who take an interest in your topic. In other words, it's traffic related. The more people who are interested in, the more people who visit your page or create traffic to your page, the more money you make. And you can check them out at about.com. And again, you'll have the URL or the website address on the page that Barbara sent in advance of this training. As far as education, teaching, and tutoring, as I mentioned, it's available at jobs available at many different levels. We were interested a few years ago to see that Sylvan Learning Centers, a company that we've seen spreading across the U.S. now for a number of years, has actually adopted the online policy now as well, where tutors who want to work with children between, I believe it starts from third grade right on up through 12th grade, can actually work for eSylvan or Educate Online, where they can tutor students from home. You'll see on the sheet that Barbara sent along to you, I've just listed one hirer from each different organization or each different level of education. There right now are definitely more college-level opportunities available than there are in elementary or high school, but we're starting to see that gap close. So definitely if you have elementary or high school experience in teaching, it's a wonderful time to be dipping a toe in the water. Interestingly, while those jobs require that you have certification or licensing in any given state, there are also jobs that you can do that don't require that you have a teaching background, but you're still teaching. And a great example of that is a company called iDapted. It's like adapted, but it starts with an I, iDapted. And they have started teaching students in Asia how to speak English, and they've discovered that immersion, or speaking with native English speakers, Native American English speakers, is one of the best ways for students to really embrace the language and learn how to speak it the way that we speak it. So in working for iDapted, your job essentially involves having conversations on specific topics with students from Asia, when you're scheduled to do that. And because of the time difference, we find that most of the teachers or instructors are actually, they have students who are up in the middle of the night talking to them. So it might be noon here and midnight there. The students are actually the ones who are flexible in their schedules. They're taking their classes with you, or they're having their conversations with you at midnight. one of the things I love about this is it doesn't require a lot of technology. Typically, you're going to be using a tool like a voiceover IP, something like Skype, for example, where you may need to have a webcam, but not necessarily because it's the voice that's really most important. And you're just having a conversation. The topic of the day might be weather. It might be ordering in a restaurant. It could be talking about work and different types of jobs people are doing in the United States. So you have your topic of the day, and your job is simply to have a normal English conversation with the student so that they can hear how you speak the language, and you can give them some corrective instruction as they speak back to you. Sort of on the other end of the spectrum, where there's an entry-level sort of pick-up-and-put-down jobs, if you will, where you can make a little extra money on the side, you can work when you want to, put it down when you're done with it, and lots of variety there. For example, we have some people who love doing virtual jury work, and this is something that started just a few years ago, where attorneys have discovered that they can embrace the power of the internet and the numbers of people on the internet to help them figure out whether or not they have a winning case before they actually take that case to court. So what they do is they put their case together, they put it all together in an easy-to-read format, and they list a series of questions with regard to the case. So you, as a virtual juror, would read the case, you'd read their points, their arguments, and then you would answer a series of questions. Did you find the defendant guilty or not guilty? On the question of whether or not they were driving too quickly, did you feel that they were? Whatever it is, and it's all different types of cases. And depending on what the virtual jurors, and they usually work with a pool of 10 to 25 jurors on each case, depending on what the feedback is from that pool of jurors, they can go back to the drawing board and recreate their case, or they can go to the courtroom feeling well satisfied that if the jury, if this virtual jury reflects what's going to happen with real jurors in the courtroom, that they're going to have a great case, or in some cases, they're going to find out that it's just disastrous and they're going to decide to settle before they ever go into the courtroom. So there's that type of work. We also find that there are a lot of people now who are answering questions online, basically making money answering questions. And they're doing that through companies like ChaCha and KGB. And that's the Knowledge Generation Bureau, not the KGB like we're so used to hearing about in history. And basically, those jobs involve you're at home, you're sitting at your computer, and when somebody is somewhere and they have a question about anything, they can text that question through their cell phone to ChaCha or KGB, and whoever's working from home and answers that question gets paid for answering the question. Here's an example. My daughter and a friend of hers and I went to a used bookstore in Connecticut, here where I live in Connecticut, last summer. And her friend really wanted to read the book Dune. And we got there, and it was an enormous bookstore, and it's multiple buildings. It's outside. It was difficult for us to track down anybody to help us. And we knew that we were in the science fiction part of the inventory, but we really didn't know where to begin looking. So I thought, this is a great opportunity for me to try KGB. So I texted the question, who wrote the book Dune, to KGB, KGB? And immediately I got a text back saying, there's a 99-cent charge for answering this question. Are you willing to accept that charge? I responded yes, and within 2 minutes I had the name of the author and some general information about the book back on my cell phone. Now, what I wasn't seeing is in the background, there was somebody sitting at home who received that question, who was the first one to pick it up of all of the KGB workers. That individual either knew the answer or did a simple Google search and found out the information, typed it in, and sent it back to me on my cell phone. Of that 99 cents, that individual probably made somewhere between 15 to 25 cents for his or her answer. That doesn't sound like a lot of money, but depending on how quickly you can answer the questions and how adept you are at doing internet research, most of these individuals are making somewhere between $9 to $12 an hour simply answering questions. And for people who love doing internet research, they're just reporting that they're having a wonderful time doing that kind of work. we're hearing now from a lot of people who are having a good deal of fun and really enjoying being website testers as well. Being a website tester essentially means that there are companies who have taken the time and money to build a website that they want to be their portal to the world. They want that to be their what the world sees when they get on the World Wide Web, and that's the face of the company out there for the internet. But unfortunately, most companies, or a lot of companies, aren't very good at putting together a website that is maybe that's really user friendly. So they've started using website testers to give candid feedback, good, bad, or ugly. They want the feedback and they want it to be candid. So being a website tester, essentially what you do is you download a piece of software onto your computer. It's very easy. You just click and it installs on your computer. And you're assigned a website to visit. And before visiting the website, what you do is you turn on this application that you just installed on your computer. And it begins to record what is on the screen of your computer. In other words, it's shooting a video of what's on your video screen. So the video is showing exactly what you see as you see it. It's also recording your voice so that as you pull up that website, you vocalize your impressions of what you're seeing. So the site maybe comes up and you're looking at it and saying, okay, it's very friendly. It's easy to navigate. I'm seeing buttons for traveling in Spain, traveling in France, traveling in Africa, whatever, if you're visiting a travel site, for example. But I'm finding that the background color is a little bit different. The background is making the text a little bit difficult to read. You want to give your most candid impressions so that you're giving the best feedback and the most usable feedback to the company who's created that website. The videos are typically about 15 minutes long, and when you're done with your 15 minutes, you close up the application, you send the completed assessment or test along to the company, and you get paid $10 for doing your feedback or providing your feedback on that particular company or that company's website. So it's really interesting, very diverse work that's available out there. As far as other types of work that are available, we're seeing more and more writing jobs turning up online. They can be with major companies that you might be very familiar with, and they can also be with small blogs that pay not so well to very well. It's difficult for me to give you a range for what writing pays right now, because in some cases, if you're writing for a blog, your compensation might consist solely of a percentage of advertising revenues for the blog that you've written. In other cases, you could be paid $300 or $400 for writing a blog post once a week to a particular website, depending on the extent of knowledge and work and the length of the articles that you're writing for that website. We see a lot of people now, most of you, if you're following the news, you're probably hearing about print media sort of imploding. A lot of the major newspapers that we've known and we've heard about and we've trusted for years are starting to go away. They're getting smaller and smaller, and a lot of the writing jobs now are going on to the internet. That's why the print newspapers are disappearing right now. So if you're interested in writing, definitely get online. We have at ratracerebellion.com, Barbara had mentioned our website earlier, we have a number of different categories, job categories, one of which is writing, editing, and proofreading. So if you're interested in that type of work, you'll definitely find lots of references there. But you can find work like that at sites like journalism.com, for example, or mediabistro.com. I had mentioned earlier that nonprofits are starting to embrace telework and hiring home-based workers now as well. And one of the sites that we frequent for home-based nonprofit work is idealist.org. That's idealist, idealist.org. Not all of the jobs are telework or home-based jobs. However, they have a wonderful search mechanism, and if you just plug in keywords like virtual or off-site or remote, or I love the word anywhere, as in may work from anywhere. It's a keyword that a lot of job seekers overlook, but it's a wonderful keyword to use when you're looking for home-based work. Also using words like telecommute, telecommuting. Just plug those in one at a time and see what you get back for home-based positions within those organizations. We also have on our website a great list of Google search terms. And Google, of course, is not the only search engine out there, but it is the one that's most frequently used. And so we've optimized the search terms there for Google. And one of the things that we always tell people is that when you're searching for work from home, one of the worst search phrases you can use is work from home. And the reason is, scammers love the phrase. They've latched onto the phrase work from home. So what's happened is it's created a real hodgepodge or a real mix of scams and legitimate jobs. So in looking at the list that we have on our site, what we've done is we're using more well-rounded, more well-thought-out phrases like this is a telecommuting position, or this is a remote position, or must have home office, or this is a 1099 position, and 1099, of course, representing the IRS form for independent contractors. You'll find a list of about 60, I believe, different phrases on the site. So in addition to the jobs that you might find listed on our site and other sites, we always encourage people to conduct their own searches as well. But in doing so, practice due diligence. Your mother was absolutely right when she told you that if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Evelyn made a very good point, never pay for work, and that's absolutely the case. The one qualifier I will put on that is, in some cases, if you're working as an independent contractor for certain companies, as opposed to an employee, you may be asked to pay for training, and you may be asked to pay for a background check. And that's because the IRS has strict regulations that differentiate between an employee status and an independent contractor status. And if a company hires you as an independent contractor and they pay for you to train or they pay for your training, then they've crossed into the gray area and the IRS can call you an employee and start to hit them with all kinds of back taxes and that type of thing. So they're very careful about keeping those things on the up and up and following the IRS regulations to the T. That said, that's different than paying for a job. It's different than paying for employment. And if you're going to work as an employee, there should never be any sort of a cost associated with it. I am going to leave you with that. I think that I just about went my 20 minutes, didn't I, Barbara?
You did a perfect 20 minutes. And if we've got even a couple more minutes, if there was anything else anybody wanted to add, Evelyn, Annette, before we go on to any questions, is there anything that any of you feel like you want to add to what you've said so far?
I don't think so.
Oh, this is Evelyn. I'll add one thing I forgot to mention. On some of the companies I deal with are specifically looking for people with disabilities. That's part of their requirement. For example, transit companies, because they get in trouble a lot with the feds because they take federal funds. So that may be another avenue for you to go to your local transit company and ask, because they're looking to see if the lifts on buses are working, or people being passed up on the curve because they're in the wheelchair because the driver doesn't feel like stopping. The signage is working. They're making stop announcements. So that's another avenue locally that you may want to look for work, mystery shopping work. And taxi companies, too, they do the same thing.
Thanks, Evelyn. Thanks for that. Okay, so we're about a quarter to eight, so we actually are going to have quite a bit of time, and I'm guessing there are probably a lot of questions out there. So, Jenny, do you want to tell people what they have to do to ask a question?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the number one key on your phone now. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the number one key on your phone. Our first question comes from Anne. Ann, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Ann. I wanted to know if there are any websites, because I see you have so much information. I'm so grateful for this. This is fantastic. Because I was trained on a computer using graphics and creating different things for different companies. Anyway, I want to know if there's any kind of websites that would require or that you would know of that my work could be handy or get paid for.
Ann, this is Chris. And if I'm understanding you correctly, have you been trained to be a graphic artist? And I'm not sure if you've been put back on mute at this point. Are you still there? Okay. I guess Ann's probably been put on mute. So I'm going to go with the assumption that you've been trained in computerized graphic arts. And absolutely, there are companies that hire for that type of work on a regular basis. One of the sites that I would suggest that you visit or bookmark and visit on a regular basis is called Authentic Jobs, I believe. And I'm just looking it up on my computer right now because I want to make sure that I give you accurate information. Yes, it's authenticjobs.com. They have a lot of jobs on there that have all things technical. So you should be able to find some work on there periodically where they're typically looking for freelance graphic artists. If you also do artwork that you would like to sell independently, that you generate, if you have that creative side, there are also things that you can do. For example, creating your handiwork and selling it, creating your own products, putting it on T-shirts, and working through sites like Zazzle.com, Zazzle.com, where you can actually put your artwork on T-shirts and other products at no cost to you, no cost for inventory. You can also use a site called Cafe Press, and they print on demand. It never costs you a penny to do anything with them. So if you're artistic by nature and have always wanted to have a product line that's customized with your artwork, those two sites make a great starting place. You'll also see on the Rat Race Rebellion site, we have a link for crafting and handiwork, and there are other companies on there as well that can be great outlets for those of you who are especially crafty or handy.
Great. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Rochelle. Rochelle, please go ahead.
Hi. My first question is to do with the first speaker, and I was looking at the literature.
Yes.
Something about part-time benefits.
Yes.
For merchandising, and it was using the acronym ASM. Can you explain what that is?
Oh, certainly. Okay. The company is Advantage Sales and Marketing, and that is one of the companies that where you can find work as a merchandiser or a product demonstrator, and they do pay benefits for part-time employees for 20 hours or more a week. And that's basically what that's all about.
Thanks, Annette. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Patty. Patty, please go ahead.
Evelyn, once a person selects a mystery shopper assignment, how soon might they commonly want the person to do the assignment, like the next day or within a week?
Usually when you select the mystery shopping assignment, even before you select it, it'll have the date range that it needs to be done within, as well as the time range. So it may be 2:05 through 2:08, between 12 noon and 8 p.m. So it'll give you all those parameters before you select it and decide you want to do it.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Lori. Lori, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Lori. I just wanted to find out, Barbara, the information packets that you were talking about. I honestly have not received one. I looked on my computer and there wasn't anything in there. Is there any way I could get that?
We'll give our contact information out at the end of the call, and you can just email me, and I'll be happy to be sure that you get whatever you're missing. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Joan. Joan, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentations, everyone. I have questions almost for everyone. The mystery shopper, it sounds a very interesting position, if you will. I have a career in as a marketing analyst, and I'm very detail-oriented, and my evaluation skills are very good. So I guess I can go for that and fill out an application. How do I know if I was accepted? That's question number one. Number two is for merchandising and demonstration work. I understand that it's usually 1 hour visits at each location, and basically it doesn't make any sense since it would cost me more to drive there than to be there. So, an online juror, that's a definite possibility, and I'm interested in that. And my main question is about .com guides. I have experience and expertise in best design. I have a degree in interior design. And even though I worked in publishing fields for many years, I have no experience in writing. Does that matter? Do I have to have experience in writing? And do I mention with any of these companies about my disability? I understand that it might be a plus, or, I'm mobile. I'm not on a wheelchair. I don't use a walker. I'm mobile, but I have MS.
Wow. Okay. Annette, do you want to start with the first question?
Yeah, I'll go first. Okay. As far as the 1 hour is concerned, that's the average length of a visit per week to a store. However, that's for merchandising, but it could be anywhere up to 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. As far as product demonstrations are concerned, that's an average of 4 to 6 hours per job. So I understand the 1 hour, it doesn't make sense, but that depends on the type of merchandising assignment that you're given. And that basically is the answer to that question.
Okay. Evelyn, Chris, do you think you can address the other questions that she had?
Yeah, this is Evelyn. I'll go. With the mystery shopping, usually once your application is accepted, you'll get an email from the company. That's the way it occurs with me. My system automatically sends an email out, and a lot of companies do, but I couldn't say all companies necessarily work that way.
All right, and following through with the last part of that question, as far as being an About.com guide, they're much more concerned with your knowledge of the particular subject matter you're going to be writing about. However, it is important that you be able to write quality content. That does not mean that you have to have professional paid writing experience in your history. It just means that you have to be able to write articles that are of the quality that the New York Times, that a New York Times owned company would consider credible and presentable on their website. And by the way, when you visit the site, they do have a list that is always changing of their available topics. So you'll want to bookmark that and check it on an almost daily basis because, as I said, the topics do rotate. They do change depending on what people are looking for at any given time. With regard to whether or not you identify yourself as being a person with a disability when you apply for a job, as a rule of thumb, when I travel around the country to military bases doing a lot of trainings, and I do work with a good number of veterans who have become recently disabled. And I always answer that question when it comes to home-based work, where it's not like walking into an interview where in some cases the interviewer is going to be able to easily see or identify an individual with a disability. There's a lot of transparency to a telephonic or online interview. And I always say if you can perform the job as well or better than somebody who does not have a disability, then I don't encourage people to identify, to self-identify. The only reason that I say that is because, like it or not, there are certain people out there who have a mindset that an individual with a disability is not going to be able to perform as well as an individual without a disability. So if you know that your disability, your particular disability, is not going to get in the way of you performing the job, then I don't see any benefit to bringing it up. That's my opinion. It may not apply in every situation, but I've found that as a rule that it works very well. There are a lot of people who get hired, they begin doing their work, and only months or years later does the employer discover that the individual has a disability, and it doesn't make a darn bit of difference to them at that point because the person is performing their job so well. Barbara and Steve, I don't know if you have a different opinion on that that you wanted to offer at this time, but that's an opinion.
I think you handled that well.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Chris. You definitely answered it the same exact way that I would, so well done.
Okay, next question.
Our next question comes from Melissa. Melissa, please go ahead.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. The presentation has been absolutely wonderful. My particular questions are directed toward Chris. First off, with the Sylvan Learning, like the eSylvan or any kind of online education, I actually am a homeschool mom. However, I do not have a degree in education. Is this something that, you know, they may consider looking at someone to do online without a degree, or do you necessarily absolutely have to have a degree to do, you know, e-learning?
It depends on the level that they're looking for you to teach at. In the tutoring industry, it's different from the teaching industry. We're finding that there are a lot of tutors out there who are subject matter experts, again, and I'm going to use that same language that I used when speaking about .com. It's going to depend from one hirer to the next, but certainly we're seeing more and more homeschooling out there. We see a lot of it in the military community because, of course, families are so transient. And we do know that there are some military moms who have homeschooled their children. Their children have gone on to college, and now those moms are tutoring other children online. So what I would say is explore the different companies, explore the different opportunities that are available to you, and handpick those in which your skills and your experience are going to be a good fit. It won't be all of them, but there certainly are those opportunities out there for you.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Next question.
Our next question comes from Courtney. Courtney, please go ahead.
Hi. First, thank you all for the information and for your time. I'm sure it's all very much appreciated. My question is for Christine. Christine, you mentioned a number of virtual positions in fields like radiology and nursing and teaching. My professional background isn't in any of those fields, so I'm wondering if there are any particularly hot fields that you see where it might make sense for someone to actually put an investment into retraining, because I've got a long career ahead of me. All right, thanks.
Okay. Right now, without a question, the biggest hiring sector, that is the sector that is hiring more home-based workers than any other sector, bar none, is the call center and customer service industry. If that's something that you're interested in, it's definitely worthwhile. There's not a steep learning curve. If you like interacting with people, if you're good with a computer, you do have a very good phone voice, you enunciate well, so you certainly don't have any questions or any problems there. That might be a sector that you would like to consider. Companies like 1-800-Flowers, 1-800-Contacts, U-Haul, American Airlines, JetBlue, Home Shopping Network, Hilton, all different companies that you're familiar with and many that you may not be familiar with, are hiring people to work from home, answering telephones, interacting with their customers. If you call to order a pizza, sometimes you may be speaking to somebody who's working from home. If you see an infomercial on TV and you dial that 800 number, you may be placing an order with somebody who's working from home. If you're calling to make an airline reservation or order flowers, you may be speaking to somebody who's working from home. If you can do what the person on the other end of that phone is doing, then it's a good opportunity. And as I said, they're hiring very aggressively. As a matter of fact, they're having a hard time finding enough people to do the work. In terms of other areas, if you're going to be retraining, We feel that there's going to be a lot of growth in the healthcare sector. One of the reasons we feel that way, of course, is because there's this huge wave of baby boomers that are aging before our very eyes, and I count myself among that number. And as we all know, as people age, we start to deteriorate a little bit at a time. And whether we like it or not, that's just the nature of the beast, which means that there will be more and more activity within the healthcare industries. So jobs like medical transcription, medical coding that can be done from home, absolutely worth looking into. Anything that's medical related is definitely worthwhile right now, for sure.
Great information. Thanks, Chris. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Michelle. Michelle, please go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Michelle.
Okay, yeah. Great. Now, I just would like to mention that I have not worked for quite a while, for 8 to 9 years, and I believe that the skills that I have is no longer applicable to nowadays, and I believe that I may have to start all over again at an entry level. So I would like to know, with all the information that was given earlier, do they offer entry-level positions?
I'll take that question. It can be that it's a difficult question to answer without knowing what your particular background is. But absolutely, there are some companies that hire at entry level as long as you have the capabilities, the right attitude, and the right aptitude. Again, getting back to the call center sector, ideally they're looking for people who have some customer service experience, but if you show that you have the capability to learn, they do have very robust training courses before they permit anybody to begin working with their customers. So if you learn quickly, you have a good telephone voice, you're able to use your computer to get into various screens. But bear in mind, not all work that's done from home is computer focused. There's also crafting work and handiwork that can be done. There are people who are doing human intelligence tasks. Amazon, we're all familiar with Amazon.com. Well, Amazon.com has a branch called Mechanical Turks. And Mechanical Turks, or Turking, is people performing human intelligence tasks, or HITs. And this doesn't require a lot of experience. Basically, what this is jobs that computers cannot do or that people can do better than computers. So if you log on to MTurk, the letter MTurk, T-U-R-K.com, you'll see a list of a bunch of different tasks that you as a human being are being offered to do, sometimes for pennies, sometimes for dollars. Most people are making between $9 and $12 an hour as Mechanical Turks because they're doing multiple jobs. It is you're not working as an employee, but what you're doing is you're picking up different tasks. And we're starting to see more and more task websites online that are similar to Mechanical Turk. And the types of jobs that I'm talking about can involve everything from looking at a series of photographs and with your mouse clicking on, let's say it's a picture of a street, and you're looking at this panoramic image or panoramic image of a photograph of a street, and you're clicking on every manhole cover, every drainage cover, and every telephone pole. Because a computer cannot do that, and if a town is looking to contract somebody to pave a road, they need to know specifically on how many miles of road, how many manhole covers, how many drainage holes, and how many telephone poles there are so that contractors who are bidding on that project will have the appropriate details. It can be something like that. It can be offering an opinion. But look at mturk.com, look at domystuff.com, look at shorttask.com. There are multiple sites out there where you can pick up that kind of work. Get your toe back in the water and start to feel more confident and start to build your skills and get yourself a little more current and ready to go into the new marketplace.
Great information. Thanks, Chris. Next question.
Our next question comes from Victor. Victor, please go ahead.
Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate it. My question was regarding the radiology department. I think it was Ms. Evelyn. My question was, do you recommend certain courses under the radiology section? Thank you.
No, that one wasn't me.
I think that might have been Chris who mentioned X-ray radiology work.
Radiology, absolutely.
Radiology, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, there, of course, being a radiologist, whether you're doing it from home or doing it in a hospital or a doctor's office or a lab somewhere, does require in-depth education. And there are schools, colleges across the U.S. that do offer training in radiology. So it would require, if you don't already have that experience, going to school to learn how to be a radiologist and read digital X-rays. But there are some great opportunities out there. As I mentioned to one of the previous folks who asked the question, the healthcare industry, definitely if you're looking to enhance your education, radiology is one of the sweet spots. People are going to need X-rays for years, and digital is the way the X-rays are going.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Sharon. Sharon, please go ahead.
Hi. I'm not exactly sure who my question is for, but I have two parts. Having heard a few of the questions, some of my questions may have already actually been answered. When we're talking about disclosing disability, do most of the jobs and the sites that you have referenced, are they looking for people with disabilities, and or does it not matter? Is it open to the public? It's just that people with disabilities tend to require these jobs more so maybe than others for different reasons. And then the second part, comes from when we are looking at like the online jurors, was there a website for that? I think I may have missed that one, or is that in the writing that was given? Third question is, my scenario is I was a professional. I went back to work part-time. I get compensated for long-term disability between my part-time hours and my full-time hours. To pick up some part-time work, would that affect my status with my current employer? They would not allow me to do work from home, which is why I have the doctor's permission only to work 25 hours a week. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know that our speakers are going to be able to address your last question because that really gets into disability policy, et cetera. Steve or I can try to address that for you after the fact, but perhaps you guys could address Christine, her questions about the juror and the earlier question.
Absolutely. The question regarding virtual jurors, there are several different sites you can go to. Among them are onlineverdict.com, ejury.com. You should find that one on the list that Barbara sent along in advance of this seminar. And we do have others listed on the Rat Race Rebellion site. If you click on the miscellaneous link, you'll find all kinds of different jobs that don't really fall squarely into other categories, and you'll find about five different e-jury companies in there or virtual jury companies. And I'm sorry, a train went through and didn't leave any cargo. I'm forgetting what the other question was. Barbara, do you remember what the other part of that question was?
I'm trying to remember the first part.
It's late, right?
It was about whether or not the websites are specific to
people with
disabilities.
That's right.
Of course. Okay. I don't know how I could forget that. There are certain companies that have a hiring preference for people with disabilities, like JLodge.com, for example. However, most of the companies that we have listed on our site, and I'm sure for the mystery shopping companies and merchandising companies as well, the other ladies can answer this better than I, there's not a hiring preference, nor is there a hiring discrimination. They will hire anybody who's capable of doing the job. So it's not a preference for people with disabilities. However, there's not a policy where they won't hire people with disabilities either, which, of course, would be illegal. But there are certain companies, as I said, that have the hiring preference. Barbara perhaps has a list of those and might be able to guide you towards some of them. And in terms of self-identifying, I gave my opinion of that earlier. And, you know, it's sort of to each his own. I'm sort of of the don't ask, don't tell mentality, as long as it doesn't impact the way that, that you perform your job.
Right. Good question. Good answer. Okay.
I have a quick one. On my website, I do have asked, are you disabled? And the reason being, like I mentioned before, some of my clients, I deal with some transit companies, and they're specifically looking for people with disabilities. But I don't discriminate. I won't say, okay, you can't do the other stuff. You can only do the disabled stuff. No. People with disabilities can do all of it. It's just that when I have a client with a preference for that because he's looking for that specific whatever, then I go in the database and I can look, pull a list of people that meet that criteria.
Great. Thank you, Evelyn, for that. I think we have time for one more.
Our last question comes from Cheryl. Cheryl, please go ahead. Cheryl, please go ahead with your question. Our last question comes from Wanda. Wanda, please go ahead.
Yes. I have had MS for 21 years, and the past 4 months I've had to use a cane, and I cannot be in my seat long. I can be in my seat maybe half an hour, and I have to sit. I had recently taken some college courses in marketing, and I'm definitely a marketing person, and I did my internship for the Red Cross. I did a lot of work in Excel, entering data and calling their current clients. First, I have a question for the merchandiser and the product demonstration. What is the name of the website?
It's NARMS, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, R as in Robert, M as in Mary, S as in Sam. NARM. It's called NARMS.
It should be in that information we sent you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get it, then you should. We're going to give our email addresses in a moment. You can email me, and I'll get it to you. Okay, I think we're out of time. We need a few minutes to do the polling. So before we end, I just want to thank our speakers tremendously. You did a wonderful job. Such a ton of information on all kinds of jobs and all kinds of things that people can do that don't necessarily require a full-time permanent employment. So a lot of tips, a lot of resources. Again, Steve and I are going to give our information out for you to contact us. If your question did not get answered, we'll be happy to get the answers for you from our speakers. My contact information, my telephone number is 212-453-3218. My email is B as in Barbara, M as in Mary, C-K-E-O-N, that's B McKeon, at msnyc.org. Steve?
Sure. I can be reached by phone at 202-296-5363 or via email at steve.nissen, it's N as in Nancy, I-S-S-E-N, at NMSS for National Multiple Sclerosis Society.org.
Thanks, Steve. Again, I want to just thank our speakers for this evening, and if you could all just hang on just for two more minutes, we have quick six questions for you to respond to so we can for our calls in the future, any of the information that you give us helps us to do them better. Thanks again, everyone, and go ahead, Jenny, and start the polling. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our polling session. Question one of six is, are you currently working? Press one for yes or two for no. Again, question one of six is, are you currently working? Press one for yes or two for no. The next question is now closed for polling. One moment while I prepare our next question. Question 2 of 6 is, how would you rate the speakers? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? Again, question 2 of 6 is, how would you rate the speakers? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? This question is now closed for polling. One moment while I prepare our next question. Question 3 of 6 is, how would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? Again, question 3 of 6 is, how would you rate the content of the program? Press 1 for excellent, 2 for good, 3 for fair, or 4 for poor? This question is now closed for polling. One moment while we prepare our next question. Question 4 of 6 is, as a result of this teleconference, I have a better understanding of various part-time jobs that have flexibility. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. Again, question 4 of 6 is, as a result of this teleconference, I have a better understanding of various part-time jobs that have flexibility. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, 5 for strongly disagree. This question is now closed for polling. One moment while I prepare our next question. Question 5 of 6 is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned of various resources to find flexible part-time jobs. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. Again, question 5 of 6 is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned of various resources to find flexible part-time jobs. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, or 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. The polling for this question is now closed. One moment while I prepare our last question for the evening. Our last question of the evening is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned about some jobs that can be done from home. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. Again, our last question for the evening is, as a result of this teleconference, I learned about some jobs that can be done from home. Press 1 for strongly agree, 2 for agree, 3 for agree somewhat, 4 for disagree, or 5 for strongly disagree. Polling for this question is now closed. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. You may all disconnect. Have a great night.